Have you ever felt it? That quiet knowing that we've been here before? Not exactly here in this moment or this technology or this modern age, but here in spirit and in purpose. Civilizations have risen and fallen like waves in an ocean, each one carrying a spark of human brilliance before the tide recedes again. And yet somehow, each time we rise, it feels like we're remembering something ancient, something almost familiar. When I look back through history, I kind of see this rhythm, not necessarily a straight line. We love to think of progress as forward motion, but the ancients saw time as a circle, or this living spiral. And if you look closely enough, you can see the spiral moving through us right now. In the Hermetica, which is a series of spiritual dialogues from late antiquity, Hermes Trismegistus, who is a legendary sage, he says that line we are all familiar with, as above, so below, as within, so without. This is one of the oldest statements of spiritual evolution that has ever been written. It tells us that the patterns of the heavens, the vast turning of the cosmos, they are mirrored inside the human soul, that humanity itself is an echo of the divine unfolding through matter. That phrase, as above, so below, it's not just poetic, it's cosmological. It suggests that civilizations themselves are like stars. They ignite, they burn bright, and then they collapse, returning their light to the greater whole. Even the writer of Ecclesiastes, which is a voice of wisdom from the ancient Hebrew text, echoes this idea when he says, "That which has been is what will be, and that which is done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun." I smile when I say this because my grandmother used to say this all the time. It was her phrase, "There's nothing new under the sun." And it's such a simple truth, and yet it is so easily forgotten. The forms change, our buildings, our empires, our languages, but the essence remains. The longing to know who we are, where we came from, and what we are becoming, that has never changed. So I invite you just for a moment to imagine humanity not as a line of progress as we all kind of see it, but as a great remembering, a soul that is slowly waking up through different forms in different eras. Each time we rise, we remember a little more. Each time we fall, we plant seeds for the next remembering. The ancient Egyptian mystery schools described this process as zeptepi, the first time, the moment of divine creation that repeats itself endlessly. Every dawn, every new age, it was seen as another zeptepi, the gods dreaming the world into being again, and humanity reawakening to its divine nature. I often think of our planet, or Gaia herself, as a part of this rhythm. She, too, breathes in cycles. Continents shift, climates change, and species emerge and they fade, unfortunately. And through it all, consciousness evolves, not by escaping matter, but by inhabiting it more fully. And the Earth is not necessarily just a stage for our evolution. She's our partner in it. The Emerald Tablet, which is another Hermetic text, it says again, "That which is below is like that which is above, and that which is above is like that which is below, to accomplish the miracles of the one thing." I am sure all of you who are listening has heard of "as above, so below," "as above, so below," whether you see it on all over Instagram, whether you see it all on Facebook or wherever. But what always seems to be missing is that last part, which I thought was the most important, to accomplish the miracles of the one thing. And that one thing, that mysterious phrase that's always left out for some reason, is consciousness itself. It's what we're made of, what the earth is made of, and what the stars are made of. Every civilization that has ever existed was simply consciousness exploring itself in a new form. So when we talk about the evolution of humanity, we're not just talking about biology or technology or even culture. We're talking about the evolution of awareness. And that brings us to right now, to today, to this extraordinary, very uncertain moment in time. A moment when, for the first time in recorded history, humanity can see itself as one global organism. Our technologies connect us instantly. Our knowledge expands exponentially. And yet, beneath all of that, something older and something maybe deeper is stirring. It's the remembering. The remembering that we are more than consumers, or even citizens, or even individuals. We're expressions of a vast consciousness woven into the living body of the earth. In the Bhagavad Gita, which was written thousands of years ago in India, Krishna tells Arjuna, "Whenever righteousness declines and the purpose of life is forgotten, I manifest myself on earth to protect the good, to restore balance, to awaken the eternal law." I think it's a powerful metaphor for the very cycle that we're in, right? When humanity forgets, the divine reappears. Not as an outside savior, but as an awakening within us. And maybe that's what's happening right now. Maybe this age, with all its chaos, with the crises all over the place and transformation, it's just another moment of divine manifestation. Not in the form of gods descending from the heavens, but in the form of humanity waking up to its own sacred nature. When we look at history, it can feel like a story of endless rises and endless falls. Cities are built, ideas flourish, and then somehow, inevitably, everything changes. But if we step back, a pattern emerges. It's like a rhythm that repeats itself, not as failure, but as part of the unfolding of human consciousness. So let's think about Sumer in Mesopotamia. Around 4000 BCE, humans were forming the first known cities. And I say this even though I am very aware of Göbekli Tepe, okay? So don't come at me with, no, Göbekli Tepe is oldest. Yes, I know that. I have not read the archaeological information about Göbekli Tepe. So today we're going with the premise of Sumer, even though we all know Göbekli Tepe is older. We do know through the archaeological record that, yes, around 4000 BC, humans were forming the first known cities. They were developing writing, law. They even had complex social systems. They built ziggurats. They created these epic poems like the Epic of Gilgamesh. And they recorded these astronomical observations that still impress us all today. The Sumerians were exploring what it means to be human, to be conscious, to understand the cosmos, and in doing so, they laid the foundations that echo through every single civilization that followed thereafter. Now Hesiod, he's a Greek poet, he reflects on a very similar pattern in his book Works and Days. And he says this, "For as the generations of men succeed one another, each man's labor brings forth fruit. Yet the seasons turn and one age gives way to another." So even in poetry, we see an awareness that history is cyclical, that humanity constantly rebuilds and reforms itself. So let's take Egypt. For thousands of years, the Egyptians developed sophisticated systems of writing, astronomy, even medicine, along with very deep spiritual practices. They understood the body as being a temple, and the soul as eternal, and they built entire cultures around balance, or Maat, which is the principle of cosmic order. The Book of the Dead contains instructions for the soul's journey after death, but it also reflects a society that's deeply aware of the importance of inner transformation. The Egyptians were teaching us, in effect, that evolution is not only collective, but it's personal. Across the world, in the Americas, the Maya were mapping the stars, they were understanding cycles of time, and they were building cities that were in precise harmony with the natural world. Their Popol Vuh, which is the sacred text of the K'iche Maya, it tells of the hero twins who descend into the underworld. They face trials and ultimately they restore balance. That story is not only a myth, it's a mirror for human experience. Every civilization has a descent into chaos, followed by some sort of potential renewal. It's a pattern that reflects both the collective and the individual journey. Greece offers another example here. The philosophers of Athens ask the question that has driven human evolution ever since. What is the good life? How do we live in alignment with truth? In Timaeus, Plato writes the following. The world came into being in order that it might participate in the eternal and divine. This idea that human life is not separate from a larger conscious order, it appears again and again in different forms across cultures. Every civilization in its own way is a conversation between humanity and the greater intelligence of the universe. Rome, China, the Indus Valley, each of these societies rose, they flourished, and eventually they transformed or they faded. And yet their knowledge, their innovations, their spiritual insights, they're never truly lost. They ripple through time, kind of like these echoes waiting to be remembered. When we look at these civilizations together, a pattern becomes very clear. Growth is never linear. It's a spiral. Societies expand. They explore. They forget. They fall. And yet the seeds of renewal are always present. In many ways, the cycle mirrors the human life itself. We have birth, growth, decline, and eventual transformation into something new. This is what I mean when I say evolution is not just about technology or even conquest. It's about consciousness itself. The rise and fall of civilizations is the visible expression of a deeper ongoing process. Humanity learning, remembering, and reconnecting with its true nature. Even in modern times, the lessons remain. Our technologies, our systems, our institutions, they're tools, but they're not the end point. They are the contemporary forms of the same impulse that built Sumer, that built Egypt, and even of the Maya. And just like our ancestors, we're being called to align them with something higher, wisdom, compassion, and even awareness. So when we hear of the rise and the fall of civilizations, I invite you to see it not as despairing history, but as a living, breathing reminder that humanity is always in motion, it's always learning, and it's always capable of renewal. Every single structure that falls, every empire that fades, it leaves behind some type of wisdom. And that wisdom is ours to access, not just as historians or archaeologists, but as conscious participants in this ongoing evolution of humanity. So that makes us part of that spiral right now. And the choices that we make today and how we live and how we connect and how we awaken, they are the seeds of the next great age. The evolution of humanity is not just recorded in cities or empires or technologies. It's written into the very pattern of time. Many ancient cultures understood this. In India, we have that concept of the yugas, which describes great ages of consciousness. These are periods in which human awareness shifts or expands or contracts and then rises again. There is a cycle of four ages, and each represents a different level of moral, spiritual, and even collective clarity. Humanity moves through them, not linearly like we think, but more again in this sort of grand spiral of awakening. The Bhagavad Gita, which is part of the larger Mahabharata epic, it speaks to this timeless process when Krishna tells Arjuna the following. Whenever Dharma declines, Anadharma rises. I manifest myself in every age to protect the good and restore balance. Here is the same lesson that we see across cultures. When humanity forgets its higher nature, cycles turn and renewal arrives, not as some sort of distant event, but as a call to consciousness. Even in the West, we find echoes of this idea. The ancient Greeks spoke of what's called the Great Year, a vast cosmic cycle in which the heavens turn through ages that influence human destiny. Plato, in his Timaeus, he hints at this when he describes the cosmos as a living creature with a soul, moving in rhythm with the eternal. Human history, then, is not random. It's an unfolding mirror of the cosmos itself. When I reflect on this, I find it deeply reassuring. For every period of decline, political upheaval, environmental crises, moral confusion, there's a potential for renewal. Humanity's story is not tragedy. It is kind of a rhythm. And right now, I think we are in the middle of one of those great turning points. I often think of this during my excavations some time ago now in Belize as an archaeologist, and I studied the very end of the Mayan civilization, which is called the Terminal Classic. I'm not going to give too many details on here, trying to understand what happened, what caused the great collapse, how do these people reform themselves, transform their society. And I'm always reminded of the resilience of humanity and the endurance of the people. But I also see, again, everything is cyclical. And when you search back in history, you always see that everything is born, it grows, it expands, and then it declines, and then it is transformed or reformed into something completely different. So let's consider the ancient Hermetic texts here. In the Asclepius, it's written, "All things flow in cycles. What rises must fall, and what falls must rise again." This is not fatalism. It's a recognition of natural law. Civilizations, just like the human soul, they move through periods of contraction and expansion. Each cycle leaves lessons, it leaves patterns, and latent wisdom for the next generation. Even the Mayan Popol Vuh speaks to this cyclical truth. The hero twins descend into the underworld, they face trials, and eventually restore balance to the world. Their journey is emblematic of every single society and every individual that has to confront the darkness before awakening to the light. The cycles, then, are not considered to be punishments, they're initiations. And this brings us to our present era. Many people feel that this time is different, and in one sense, it kind of can be. Technologically, we are connected in ways that no previous civilization could have imagined. Maybe they were connected that way in Atlantis or Lemuria or prior to that. I have no conception of that. But I think the deeper difference here is spiritual. Humanity is beginning to remember itself, not just as a species, but as a conscious, self-reflective presence within the larger cosmos. That Hermetic principle of as above, so below, it reminds us the cycles that we see in the stars, in the cosmos, they are mirrored in our own collective consciousness. What the ancients encoded in mythology, even in astrology, and all of these sacred texts, it was never meant to be just a mere story. I'd like to say that it's more of a map or a guide for awakening. Even the Emerald Tablet speaks to this ongoing turning of the ages. Again, and you'll hear me say this over and over, so you'll have it memorized by the end of this episode. That which is above is like that which is below, to accomplish the wonders of the one thing. And again, the one thing is consciousness itself. Every civilization, every spiritual tradition, every teaching is an attempt to awaken this awareness, to remember who we truly are. And so when we watch the world today, with all of its chaos, its uncertainty, and all of this rapid change, it helps us to remember that this is a turning of the ages. Just as the Kali Yuga is a time of challenge and reflection, it also carries the seeds for transformation. Every crisis contains the potential for awakening. We are participants in this cycle. We're not just helpless observers, even though it can feel that way at times. Our choices, individually and even collectively, they shape how the next age unfolds. So consciousness, therefore, is not passive, it's creative. We have the ability to accelerate our collective remembering, to awaken to our true nature, and even to integrate the lessons of the past. So as we continue exploring humanity's evolution, keep in mind this principle. Cycles are opportunities. Patterns of rise and fall, they are not failures. They're invitations to a deeper sense of awareness. And in understanding the turning of the ages, we begin to align ourselves with the greater rhythm of life, to participate consciously in the next chapter of human history. As we move through history and through the turning of the ages, we arrive at the present moment, a moment unlike any other in human experience. We live in a time of immense change. Technology connects us instantly, information flows like rivers, and our impact on the planet is very visible in every corner of the globe. Yet alongside these advancements, if you want to call it that all the time, there is a growing awareness that something deeper is unfolding, and I think many people feel it. It's kind of this subtle recognition that humanity is really at a threshold, not just at a technological threshold, but I think a spiritual one. In the Upanishads, and these are ancient Indian texts that explore consciousness and the self, the following is written: "The knower of the self sees all beings in the self, and the self in all beings." Of course, this is profound, right? Because it reminds us that evolution is not just about external progress. It's not about the cities, the technologies, or the political systems. It's about recognizing the divine within ourselves and within all of life on Earth. We are collectively beginning to remember who we are. We are remembering that consciousness is not a small, isolated spark, but it's this ocean in which we all swim in. And I think this remembering is the foundation of a spiritual evolution that parallels and perhaps even surpasses our technological achievements. Let's take Gaia herself, or the Earth. You know, she's alive, she's breathing, she's responding to every human choice. Indigenous traditions across the globe, from the Inuit to the Aboriginal peoples of Australia, they've long recognized this truth. The Earth is not a resource to exploit, but she is a living partner in our journey. The planet's cycles, the climate, the seasons, the migration patterns, ecological balance, it mirrors the cycles of human consciousness. When civilizations rise and fall, it's not separate from the Earth's rhythm. It's intertwined. In the Hermetic text, Asclepius, we read the following: "Man is a miniature cosmos, and the cosmos is in man. Every choice that we make today, and how we treat each other, how we treat the planet, how we cultivate awareness, it ripples outwards. The threshold that we stand upon is terrifying, but it's also exhilarating. It calls us to grow, to awaken, to remember the wisdom of every civilization that came before us." Many ancient myths speak to this. In the Greek tradition, the story of Prometheus tells us of a being who brings fire, knowledge, awareness, and even the capacity to transform. But with fire comes responsibility. So too in our current era, the gift of knowledge, science, technology, global communication, it carries a profound responsibility to evolve spiritually as rapidly as we evolve materially. Even the Maya understood the interplay of knowledge and responsibility. Their sacred calendars, which were complex and very precise, they were more than timekeeping. They were guides to consciousness, tools for aligning human action with cosmic order. They remind us that awareness is not separate from action. Every step, every choice, it all carries meaning. And this is why I kind of call this moment a threshold. It's a crossroads. Humanity can continue to repeat the same old patterns: the rise and fall of civilizations, short-sightedness, constant destruction, or we can remember, awaken, and participate consciously in the next great cycle. The Emerald Tablet offers guidance here once again, and I will read the quote. It reads, "He who understands the one thing, through it, creates, preserves, and transforms all." Again, what is that one thing? That one thing is consciousness, or awareness itself. And through awareness, we can shape not just our own lives, but the trajectory of our civilization. This is the great invitation of our current age: to recognize that spiritual evolution is not optional. It is inseparable from the survival and even the flourishing of our species. And I think it's inseparable from our relationship with the earth, who is our living partner that I think constantly gets overlooked. So as we navigate this threshold, we're not alone, thank goodness. Every story, every myth, every sacred text, they all remind us that humanity has faced turning points before, time and time again. And it also reminds us that we have always emerged, shaped by knowledge, shaped by challenge, and by awakening. The difference now is that we are aware of the pattern. We can participate consciously. We can make choices with intention, guided by the wisdom of those who came before, and hopefully the clarity of our own inner knowing. So as we step forward into this moment, let us do some sort of remembering here. First, that the cycles of civilization are mirrors of the cycles of consciousness. That humanity's evolution is as much about the soul as it is about society. And of course, the earth is alive, right? The earth is alive, and we are part of her great rhythm. And lastly, that we carry the potential for profound remembrance, awakening, and transformation. So as we come to the close of today's episode, I invite you to just stop for a moment and let us reflect together on this journey we have taken from the first cities of Sumer, and yes, again, Göbekli Tepe, to the spiritual heights of Egypt, of the Maya, of the Greeks, and so many more, to the great turning points of our modern age. What emerges is a singular truth. Humanity's story is a collective journey of consciousness. Every civilization that has risen and has fallen has left behind lessons that are encoded in myth, in sacred texts, in the stones, and even in the stars. These are not relics or artifacts of a forgotten past. They're guides for us now. The Bhagavad Gita reminds us, whenever there is decay of Dharma and the rise of a Dharma, I manifest to restore balance. This is more than a promise of divine intervention. It's an invitation. We collectively are called to participate in restoring balance, not only in society, but within ourselves and in our relationship with the planet. The turning of the ages is not passive. It's alive, dynamic, and it's present in every choice that we make every day. The Hermetic tradition echoes this. It teaches us that the microcosm reflects the macrocosm. As above, so below. As within, so without. Our inner awakening is inseparable from the evolution of our civilizations. If we cultivate awareness, compassion, and wisdom within ourselves, these qualities, they ripple outwards, shaping the world in ways that are both seen and even unseen. Even the Maya, through their sacred stories in the Popol Vuh, again, they offer guidance, right? The hero twins, they descend into darkness, they face trials, and then they restore balance. Humanity, too, must descend into challenges. We have environmental crises, societal upheavals, even our own inner shadow, in order to rise into a higher understanding. Every difficulty carries a seed for transformation. We're not going to be the first to stand at a threshold, but we may be the first to recognize it consciously. Technology has accelerated our awareness, connecting humanity in ways that we thought were unimaginable in previous cycles. And this awareness comes with responsibility to use our knowledge to awaken, rather than to exploit, to create, rather than to destroy. The Emerald Tablet reminds us again and again and again, that which is below is like that which is above to accomplish the wonders of the one thing. Let us say for the millionth time, the one thing is consciousness, awareness, the creative principle within each one of us. Every decision that we make, every act of care, every moment of reflection, we can see them as brushstrokes in this unfolding masterpiece of the next civilization. And yet, this is not really a call to be afraid or to despair. Humanity's evolution has always been cyclical. It's built into the rhythm of existence. Every challenge, every fall, every period of forgetfulness has been followed by renewal. What's different now is our capacity to consciously guide that renewal. We are collectively remembering. Across cultures, across time, the message has always been the same. We are more than our circumstances. We are more than our civilizations. We are conscious beings capable of profound transformation, capable of living in harmony with one another and with the earth itself. We are the inheritors of a very long cyclical journey. And now at this particular threshold, we have the opportunity to step into a new era, one defined not only by what we build or achieve, but by how we fully awaken to the truth of who we are. Everyone, I hope this has been very helpful for you today and you found some value in this podcast episode. Until next time, have a great week ahead and take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.